Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne, and you are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid, hopefully in the best way possible. Today, we're going to be talking about a case from 2014. It involves three teenage girls who got lured into the world of Slender Man. Creepypasta was a creative writing website for short stories. Creepypasta is a generic term for scary stories that get copy-pasted and spread. As they spread, people tweak the stories, stories that branch out of the main canon. They were PG-rated stories written in the same style as R.L. Stein. Stories such as Ben Drowned, created by an internet user named Alex Hall. Ben Drowned is a story about a boy named Matt who buys a used copy of a video game from an older man, and then Matt finds that the cartridge is haunted. There are other stories, such as the 11 Miles ritual, in which a person who wishes to fulfill one's wish follows 11 miles of an unknown road with an obstacle at each mile. A scary obstacle at each mile. In the case that the ritual doer reaches the 11th mile, then that ritual is said to have been completed, leading you to the fulfillment of your wish. And of course, there was Slender Man. By definition, Slender Man is a tall, thin humanoid with no face. He wears a trademark black suit. He is abnormally tall. Very long arms. Slender Man targets children. He is everywhere. He has proxies who will carry out any wish that he wants. His proxies will murder people for him, and if they do complete a murder, they are allowed to live in his mansion. His mansion is located in the Nicolet National Forest. He is a faceless man who kidnaps kids. Slender Man was created in 2009 by Eric Knudsen, who went by the screen name Victor Surge. Knudsen posted two black and white photos to a contest that was being held for Creepypasta. The first black and white photo shows a group of what looks to be 12 to 15-year-old children walking out of the woods with Slender Man behind them. Underneath this photo, Victor Surge wrote the caption, "We didn't want to go, we didn't want to kill them, but its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time. 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead." The second black and white photo featured children at a younger age, anywhere from about 4 to 6 years old, playing on a playground. You can see a young girl climbing a slide, and in the background, you can see Slender Man with all of his arms outstretched, and the children are coming towards him. Underneath that picture, the caption read, "One of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze, notable for being taken the day which 14 children vanished, and for what is referred to as the Slender Man. Deformities cited as film defects by officials. Fire at library occurred 1 week later. Actual photograph confiscated as evidence. Taken 1986 by photographer Mary Thomas, missing since June 13th, 1986. Slender Man is portrayed as the Grim Reaper with a heart. He can be seen as a guardian angel to these children. These photographs of him can be interpreted as him coming to save children, not to hurt them. For someone who is lonely or troubled or trying to find themselves, this can be a very dangerous situation. You might be bullied at school, but here's this open-ended monster who will embrace you. Neurodevelopment psychologist Abigail Baird says, "In the absence of social contact, the internet can serve as a peer. Crime of the century is a phrase used to describe sensational or notorious criminal cases. The case of Nathan Leopold and Richard Loeb, who were 19 and 18 at the time of their crime, they settled on kidnapping and murdering a younger peer of their friend group, and they thought that this would be the perfect crime. They spent 7 months planning everything from the method of abduction to how they would dispose of the body. During the trial of Leopold and Logue, defense attorney Clarence Darrow had this to say. These boys, neither one of them could possibly have committed this act excepting by coming together. It was not the act for one, it was the act of two. It was the act of their planning, their conniving, their believing in each other, their thinking themselves Superman. Without it, they could not have done it. It could not have happened. Some sort of chemical alchemy operated so that they cared for each other. Neither of them could have done this alone. Peyton Leutner, who sometimes goes by the nickname Bella, and Morgan Geyser met in kindergarten and became best friends in fourth grade. Bella loved the color purple and kitty cats, even volunteering at a local animal shelter. Bella's teachers described her as a goody-goody. Morgan was more of a loner and an outcast in class, and when Bella befriended Morgan, people were surprised by their relationship because they were total opposites. Morgan was the type who read scary stories for fun, and Bella thought that horror movies were, quote, mean. While growing up, Morgan recalls seeing hallucinations since the age of three. One hallucination that she saw often was a man that she named It. His body was the color of smoke and ink that stood behind her in mirrors or shifted around corners. At school and on the playground, Morgan would be seen barking, throwing bugs at students. She would write the word die over and over in her notebook during class. She would fly into tirades. One student watched Morgan pick a scab off of her knee and then paint on her notebook with the blood. Every teacher brushed her off as, quote, trying to get attention. They even brushed off the students who told on her as also just trying to seek attention. Morgan's mom, Angie, said she was a teenage girl. That is all that we thought was happening. Her parents also thought that she was kind of just faking it to get out of trouble. They would often hear her in her room talking to herself, and they just thought that this was a way to get attention from them. In the documentary Beware the Slender Man, Morgan's mom says of her, "One thing that we found odd about Morgan when she was little was that when we would watch a movie together and the main character would die, she wouldn't have any empathy for them. I remember watching Bambi with her and we thought, oh no, she's going to be so upset when the mother dies. But when the mother does die, Morgan just yelled at the TV, 'Run, Bambi, run, just save yourself.'" Morgan's parents, Angie and Matt Geyser, did have one little secret that they were keeping from Morgan. Now, they had stated in the book Slender Man that they weren't going to tell her that her father had schizophrenia. They were going to wait until she was about 16 years old to share this information with her. Matt Geyser was hospitalized at least four times as a teenager to treat his own schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is one of the most studied and one of the most serious illnesses. Approximately 1% of the population has schizophrenia. Psychotic illness through genetic predisposition and stress placed upon the human is what can cause hallucinations, hearing voices, and delusions. You are more likely to get schizophrenia if someone in your family has it. If it's a parent, brother, or sister, your chances go up by 10%. If both of your parents have it, then your risk of developing schizophrenia is now a 40% chance. Morgan's grandfather would later go on to say, "None of us saw this coming." Morgan's grandmother, Diana, recalls, "That's all Morgan talked about. Bella, Bella, Bella." Then all of a sudden, there was Anissa on the scene, and it all went downhill from there. Morgan met Anissa Wire on the school bus. Anissa loved horror stories and roller coasters. She wore glasses, and her family called her Four Eyes. At age 10, her parents, Bill and Christy, separated. But they remained in the same apartment as a family, even though they were still separated. And Anissa would later recall that this was the worst year of her life. She felt lonely. She felt like she didn't fit in anywhere. She was quoted as saying, "I got whatever attention my parents could spare. I was always the good kid who didn't need to be watched." Anissa longed for a connection and a bond. She would spend her days playing Minecraft, and while playing one day, an ad popped up for creepypasta.com. Anissa would spend hours alone reading these stories. She would become obsessed with creepypasta and mainly with Slenderman. She used to sit alone in her bed and memorize these creepy stories, hoping that one day she'd get invited to a sleepover and impress everyone. Soon, she shares her interest in these stories with Morgan. Bella wasn't as close to Anissa as Morgan was, and Bella didn't really care much for her. And as a note right now, my main source for learning more about this story was the book Slender Man, written by Kathleen Hale. Peyton is mainly referred to as Bella during this story. It is said that she loved to go by the nickname Bella. So if I am confusing you a little bit by using the name Bella, I apologize for that. I'm just so used to hearing Bella now in my head. But Bella is Peyton. Anissa would act out a lot in school by slapping or hitting people, banging into them. She was the type that really liked to take her frustrations out on other people, and she did that often to Bella. Now, Morgan was the type that took her frustrations out on herself. So this dynamic between Morgan and Anissa seemed to click. And Anissa would say that she clung to Morgan for dear life. They had the same interest, and she finally had someone she could talk to about shared interest. Bella, on the other hand, did not care for Anissa or these scary stories. She was quoted as saying, "I didn't like Anissa at all. I just hung out with her because I knew that Morgan really loved her as a friend, but she was always cruel to me. I feel like she was jealous that Morgan was friends with me and her." Morgan starts to introduce Bella to these creepypastas, and Bella felt like Morgan was getting weirder and scarier. Pictures and rumors of people that would kill people for fun? Bella didn't want any of that. She actually started having nightmares because of this. And Morgan could sense that Bella was pulling away. Bella used to tell Morgan that she liked Star Trek and she saw creatures too, but she really didn't. She was just doing that to be a good friend. She thought that by being a good friend, maybe she could shake Morgan back into reality. Bella said that she thought this was a game and that she didn't like Anissa or creepypasta. She ends up telling Morgan to stop emailing her these stories. Morgan replies that she would keep emailing Bella just because Bella didn't like it. And now Morgan is angry. She tells Bella that if she stared at these photos more than 2 seconds, that she would go insane and that Slender Man was coming to kill her. He was going to crawl into her window in the middle of the night and kill her. They stayed friends, but things were tense and Morgan ends up growing closer to Anissa. And I know we have all been in that situation. A group of three at age 12 is not good. There's always tension. There's always backstabbing and fighting. At this point, Anissa is just feeling exhilarated with the fact that she has a best friend. And she tells Morgan that they should run away together to Slenderman's mansion and become his proxies. So they give each other nicknames. Now, Anissa wanted Morgan to call her the Scorpion, and Morgan wanted to be called Kitty. Morgan's parents knew of this newly found fascination with Slender Man, but they didn't think that this was anything that they should be worried about. They didn't believe it was real. Her mom was quoted as saying, "I loved Stephen King novels when I was younger, but I didn't think that it was real." Morgan was gripped because she saw these images in real life, and seeing these images in her real life since age 3 and now being shown Slender Man, she felt like she maybe wasn't insane. Suspension of disbelief had been one of Morgan's main traits now for years. But Anissa starts to unravel the truth because she starts seeing that Slender Man isn't real. And Anissa starts to see holes in Slender Man's story. Like, for instance, if Slender Man is human, but his mouth is sliced open, then how can he eat? Because humans have to eat. And she would ask Morgan these questions, and what Morgan responded with was, "Get rid of all logic. Logic doesn't pertain to us anymore." These children are 12. I just want everyone to keep that in mind. What nobody knows is that for the past 6 months, Morgan and Anissa have been planning to murder Bella at a sleepover. The two girls had even started using code words in front of Bella so that they could talk about the murder right in front of her. And one of the code words they used was the cracker, and that meant the knife. They believed that they needed to sacrifice Bella, and that would help them to become Slender Man's proxies. And once they murdered Bella, they would escape to Nicolet National Forest and live with Slender Man in his mansion forever. It is May 30th, 2014, and Morgan is going to have a roller skating slash slumber party sleepover for her birthday. It would just be the three girls, Morgan, Anissa, and Bella. And Bella's mom didn't really want her to go that night because she was already getting really bad vibes about this friendship. And as an example of something that was kind of driving Bella's mother crazy was the night of the sleepover, Bella's mother told her that she couldn't drive her to the sleepover at the exact time because I believe they were having some work in their kitchen done. So she was like, "Once this guy leaves, I'll drive you over to Morgan's." And Bella called Morgan to let her know, and Morgan responded with, "I don't know why your mother thinks that she has any say in what time my birthday starts." So Morgan's father, Matt, would end up picking Bella up, and Bella's mom recalls feeling upset that she left, and she didn't have a great feeling about this night at all. The girls start their party night off at Skateland. This was a popular roller skating rink around town, and they threw a lot of teenage birthday parties there. And if you wanted to have a birthday party, which included like the table, the cake, the balloons, you would have to have a party of 8 or more. But Morgan only had the 2 friends, so the girls just went there to skate instead. Then they were off to Morgan's house for a slumber party. So after the girls are skating, they go home, they go to Morgan's basement, they all play on their iPads. Morgan's opening her gifts, and this is one of the most chilling, disturbing, disgusting moments of this story. So the two girls had planned on killing Bella with a knife, and what they were going to do was put masking tape over her mouth so she couldn't scream and so she couldn't breathe. They're going to put it over her mouth and her nose. But Anissa forgot the masking tape or the duct tape. I keep calling it masking tape. I know my husband already told me, "What are you talking about? What masking tape?" No, I know it's duct tape. Okay. So they didn't have any duct tape and they were like, whatever, that plan's out the door. So Bella gives Morgan gummy bear duct tape for her birthday. So while Morgan's opening her present, she opens a present with duct tape in it. And Anissa says that her and Morgan just looked at each other and were like, oh my God, it's so disgusting and so chilling. I think a lot of it really hits home for me also because I've been to some horrible sleepovers when I was younger where, you know, you get invited and you're not really friends with some of the other girls. And I mean, even to this day, being the old woman that I am, I can still remember what that feels like to be kind of unwelcome in someone's home. The very first plan for that night was the girls were going to go to bed and they were going to cover Bella's mouth with the duct tape, stab her under the covers, and then just make it look like she was sleeping. But that plan was going to be changed because, as Anissa said, I feel too tired from roller skating to kill anyone tonight. Morgan agreed, and Morgan said, I wanted to give her one more morning. I wanted to see if I could put it off forever. It is now the morning. Morgan and Anissa wake up first and they go back downstairs to the basement. They leave Bella alone in the bed upstairs. So while they're in the basement, they are taking quizzes on Quotiv. And if you remember Quotiv, you could do quizzes like, does my best friend like me? So Bella ends up coming downstairs and the two girls ask Bella a fake quiz question from Quotiv. And that question was, what would you do if someone stabbed you? And Bella responded, I'd probably scream. The girls finish eating breakfast and they decide to play dress up for a little bit. They play with some silly putty. And then Morgan says, we should do it at the park today, okay? To Anissa. And then Anissa agrees. So they steal a knife from Morgan's kitchen and they slip it into their backpack. Anissa thought, oh dear God, this is really happening. One of the detectives later asked Anissa, what were you most afraid of? She replied, seeing a dead person. Morgan changed into jeans and an Owl City t-shirt, her favorite band, and she also wore long fingerless black gloves, and Anissa put on lipstick. They had a getaway bag that they packed with 7 M&M's Kudos bars and a whole box of peanut butter granola bars. This food was going to last them on their journey to Nicolet National Forest to meet Slenderman. The girls play on the playground for a while and they're having a lot of fun. And then Anissa decides, let's go to the bathroom to kill her. We'll go into the restroom because there's a drain in the restroom and Bella's blood can go down the drain. And then as Bella lay there dying, they would sit on the toilet and lock the door and wait for her to die. Anissa kept telling Morgan that it's easier to kill people when they're asleep or they're unconscious. So she was thinking, maybe we can hit Bella in the head and knock her out. And she tried to do that. It didn't work. And then she looks at Bella and she tells her, you have to go to sleep. Bella, go to sleep in this restroom at the park. Of course, Bella is like, no, what are you talking about? And at this point, Bella just wants to go home. Morgan actually gives Anissa the knife and says to her, I thought we agreed that you're doing this. And Morgan gets mad because she says, I can't do this. You have to do this, Anissa. And then she hugged her and Anissa tried to calm her down. So she started petting her like she was a cat to calm her. The next plan is to play hide and seek. So Morgan is going to be the seeker, and Anissa starts dragging Bella deeper into the woods and telling her, come on, we have to hide. You should lay down on the ground, and I'll put all of these sticks and branches and dirt on top of you so that she can't find you. Anissa even starts to lay on top of Bella, and Bella's like, will you get off of me? You're hurting me. And Morgan says, I'm not going to do this until you tell me to, Anissa. So at one point, Anissa yells, Morgan, now. Morgan lays on top of Bella's legs. She says, don't be afraid. I'm only a little kitty cat. Then she gets really close to Morgan's face and whispers, I'm so sorry, as she starts stabbing her. Morgan stabs Bella over and over. Bella keeps screaming and she keeps saying, I trusted you. I hate you. Then she keeps saying, I can't see. I can't see. Anissa tells Bella that she needs to be quiet. She needs to stop screaming because if she keeps screaming, she's going to die. So she needs to be quiet and lay there silently and still, and they will go get help for her. But in her interrogation, Anissa says, we weren't going to get any help. Bella was stabbed 19 times. Morgan and Anissa leave Bella bleeding in the dirt and they start their trek to Slender Mansion. They are going from Waukesha to Nicolet Forest, and that is easily a 4 to 5 hour drive, but these two 12-year-old girls thought that they would be able to walk it. On their walk, they stopped at a Walmart, and that's where they were caught on surveillance cameras. Meanwhile, Bella is laying in the dirt, bleeding. She says that something in her brain told her that she needed to get up and at least move to the grass. That's what she did. I got up, I grabbed a couple of trees for support, I think, and then just walked until I hit a patch of grass where I could lay down. Moments later, a cyclist comes upon Bella. She says to him, help, I've been stabbed multiple times. Police arrive very quickly, and Bella is transported to the nearest hospital. She says, I couldn't focus much because my body was working so hard to keep itself alive. She says, it was probably like, vision isn't really a priority right now. The doctors at ProHealth Waukesha Memorial Hospital performed emergency surgery, and they were shocked by Bella's critical injuries. The stab wounds she suffered to her arms and legs had only damaged soft tissue, but the two to her torso had hit major organs. One had cut through her diaphragm, damaging her liver and her stomach, and the other had nearly penetrated her heart and missed a major artery by less than a millimeter. The doctor, John Kellerman, said, if the knife had gone the width of a human hair further, she wouldn't have lived. He told that to ABC News in 2014. Morgan and Anissa are finally picked up by police almost 5 hours away near Interstate 94. They are picked up and taken into custody. Calm and meek was what described their demeanor when they were brought in. The knife that they used to stab Bella was in their backpack still, and they still kept saying to the officers that the attack was needed to appease Slenderman. Both girls are interrogated immediately, and in Anissa's interrogation, she cried. She asked if her parents were scared. She asked the detective a strange question at one point, and the detective even said, you would think she's going to ask if Bella's okay or what happened, but she just looks up very meekly and just says, I have a question. How far did I walk? I'm not usually athletic, so I just kind of wanted to know how far I walked. Over in Morgan's interrogation room, she remains very calm. She shows no emotion. There was even a scene where she kind of danced around and sang or hummed a little song to herself. The detective that was interrogating Morgan even noted that he was very disturbed by her demeanor and the way she acted because he had a 12-year-old daughter himself at home, and the way Morgan was acting was just not right. So she actually does ask if Bella was dead, and when she finds out that Bella is in the hospital, she shakes her head like as if to like come to her senses, almost like a cartoon character would do in like Bugs Bunny with the shaking of the head. And then she just sits still and says, oh, I was just wondering. Totally back to her calmness again. Both girls are just continuously blaming the other for the entire situation. And Morgan starts getting annoyed a little bit into her interrogation because the detective is asking her the same questions over and over. And Morgan even points out, are you trying to do this to me to get me to mess up my story? He's like, no, I just need to know what happened. And then he says, what did you do then? and Morgan just looks at him and says, "Stabby, stab, stab, stab," and makes a motion with her hand as if she's holding a knife and slashing through the air. Police soon find searches by Morgan on her computer, searches such as how to cover up a murder, what makes your conscience feel guilty about killing someone, and can you get arrested for killing someone in self-defense? Following the investigation, Morgan would be charged with attempted first-degree homicide, a Class A felony, and Anissa was charged with attempted second-degree homicide, a Class B felony. Due to the nature of the offense, both Morgan and Anissa were waived out of juvenile court and were going to be tried as adults. Morgan would end up being committed to the Winnebago Mental Health Institute, and she would become the youngest patient there. Meanwhile, Bella would have to practice walking again. She used a wheelchair in the hospital, and her mother, Stacy, slept by her side every night. The family would have a $250,000 hospital bill within the first 3 days after that surgery. And those bills would not stop coming in even after Bella left the hospital and was already home. The doctors opened her abdomen and chest cavity in this life-saving surgery, and that would mean that Bella would require physical therapy, and of course, the entire family would need to go to therapy for this. Bella's family created a charity Facebook page, and they also set up a GoFundMe for the account. Money rolled in quickly, and within a week, they raised $27,000. People from all over the world would send Bella get-well wishes, so her mother set up a P.O. box and asked people to send purple hearts with inspiring messages for Bella so that she could read them when she arrived home from the hospital. Bella's mother actually had a local artist paint a tree on Bella's wall above her bed or next to her bed so that she could hang all of these purple hearts on the wall and she could read them when she was feeling down or feeling scared. One of the hearts read, "You are strong and brave." But Bella said she did not feel strong and she did not feel brave. She would still need her mother to sleep with her every night and she feared all windows. She was scared that someone would crash through the windows and attack her. Bella did not want to talk about what happened to her. In therapy, she would refer to Morgan as the one who did it and Anissa as the one who watched. She said, "I should have stopped being friends with Morgan in fifth grade." The judge would rule that this was a violent, premeditated, personal offense and a conscious decision made at the time of the offense to let this victim die. They said they would get her help, and they did leave, but then they left to go meet up with Slenderman. This was an effort to kill someone. The issue of brain development is important. They are 1 year older today. No way to ensure the public safety after this. They committed an offense that was serious, and they will be tried as adults. In 2017, Anissa pleaded guilty to being a party to attempted second-degree homicide. A jury then found her not guilty by mental disease or defect. Morgan accepted a plea offer under which she would not go to trial and she would be evaluated by psychiatrists to determine how long she should be placed in a mental hospital. She later pleaded guilty but was found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect, and she was diagnosed with schizophrenia. Anissa was sentenced to 25 years to life, with at least 3 years locked confinement and involuntary treatment in a state psychiatric institute. In 2021, Anissa was granted a conditional release to live with her father under supervision until the age of 37. She was ordered to wear a GPS monitor. A judge would later file for that GPS monitor to be removed, but she would also have to remain supervised for this release to continue. Morgan was given the maximum sentence of 40 years to life. In a petition filed on January 16th, of this year, 2024, Morgan Geiser asked Judge Michael O. Bowron to consider whether or not she is no longer a threat to herself or to others. Morgan Geiser is now 21 and hopes for a conditional release from the mental institution that she has been being cared for in. Her attorney, Tony Cotton, who has represented her since 2014, said that Morgan has made great strides. She can be a safe and productive resident outside of a mental institution. In 2019, after years of healing, Peyton Bella Lautner decided to tell her own story to David Muir of ABC News. Surprisingly, she expressed gratitude for her traumatic experience, saying that it inspired her to pursue a career in medicine. As she put it, "Without the whole situation, I wouldn't be who I am. I want to put everything behind me and live my life normally." Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Residue. I thank you so much for joining me every week. You can find me on Instagram at Residue Podcast and Facebook at Residue, a true crime podcast. You can also leave me some 5-star reviews if you want. That would be awesome, and that would make me smile. I understand that this world is both beautiful and dark. And when I tell you to stay paranoid, I just want you to remember that there's a lot of darkness out there. And if you just keep one eye open, hopefully you can avoid it. Thank you so much, you guys.